I'd like to turn this morning to the seventh chapter of the book of Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 7. If I had to pick out a verse or part of a verse that would be my text, probably be the latter several words of the fifth verse of that seventh chapter. Did ye at all fast unto me, even to me? That's part of the answer to a question here in this chapter 7 of Zechariah. And then we'll go into just first short part of the 8th chapter, but to wrap it up, but Lord willing. So this chapter 7 begins, and it came to pass in the fourth year of King Darius that the word of the Lord came unto Zechariah in the fourth day of the ninth month, even in Chislu. When they had sent unto the house of God Sherezer and Gemalech and their men to pray before the Lord and to speak unto the priests which were in the house of the Lord of hosts, and to the prophets, saying, so here's the question. Should I weep in the fifth month, separating myself, as I have done these so many years? So here's the question, here in this third verse. And even, one of the things I noticed, even in the question here, we see man's personality, his, I guess, humanity come out here. Should I weep in the fifth month? And is there, so we're speaking of some rituals here, weeping, fasting. But should I weep in the fifth month, separating myself, as I have done these so many years, as I've been so faithful to do all these years, I've done this. And how wonderful am I that I've done this? These many years I've done this, and so should I even in the question, it puts the light on man here, on mankind. So then God answers the question, and yet he does, and he answers it in his way. Then came the word of the Lord of hosts unto me, saying, so I think, okay, he's going to answer their question here. It says, speak unto all the people of the land and to the priests, saying, when ye fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh month, even those 70 years, did ye at all fast unto me, even to me? So really, he did. I'm sure, as I always want a yes or no answer in question, and they didn't get that here. It's like, should I weep in the fifth month, separating myself as I've done all these years in the past? And the answer was, when you fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh month, when you did that, even those 70 years in that captivity, even then, when you did that, did ye at all fast unto me, even to me? Now, in these few verses here, he concentrates on the heart, on the motive, in rituals here. And they had now made weeping fasting and other things, of course, part of this, the traditions and the rituals here. And so he's changing it to the answer here is not should you continue doing it or not, but when you did do it all those years, what was your motive? I try to think upon these things, and in Brother Jason's prayer, he mentioned in one respect or another to keep these things that we hear and experience here on our minds throughout the week, every day, that we serve Him, whatever things we do, that in our hearts we're still serving Him in everything, in all we undertake to do, we may glorify His name in everything. So if we're weeping, if we're fasting, separating ourselves, then what's the reason, what's the purpose, what's the motive, and what are we thinking then? Even in the worship service, in the preaching of the gospel, singing of songs and prayers, fellowship and all, what's the motive there? And it should certainly stem from love, the love that we've been given from God, of God. But when you did this, even those 70 years, did ye at all fast unto me, even to me? And when ye did eat, and when ye did drink, did not ye eat for yourselves and drink for yourselves? So in asking this question, do we keep doing this? Now, the answer they're getting is, why did you do it in the first place? What's your motive in there? What? Look into your hearts, and why did you do that? I come down to even as we read the words in the songs and that we're singing, and the music is beautiful, and yet, well, like the one song that had seven verses, a full page, that Brother Tim couldn't find a verse to leave out in all of that, and so we're looking at the words. Did we sing that unto Him? What's the motive behind that?
Right.
What's the motive behind it? Now, a very strong indicator on the answer to that, this same answer to us when we ask, do we keep doing this, is, has God blessed it? And so we see that. And we've seen that even in the last year. We've seen God blessing our services. And yet each Sunday it's another Sunday, it's another worship service. So, however we've been blessed in the past, now we look at that to see are we on track? The same question here is asked of us in our motive and in our purpose of these things. And so he brings up here that in eating and drinking, did you not eat for yourselves and drink for yourselves? In 1 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 8, the Apostle Paul says here, let me just get this one verse, but in the 8th verse of the 8th chapter, 1 Corinthians, but meat commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. But take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. Real quickly, 10th chapter, this is just a page over here in mine, 10th chapter, the 31st verse. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. There's what I ended up on last Sunday. It's all to the glory of God. Now he's talking about, and Paul's addressing specific things here, as Zechariah will in the continuance of this 7th chapter of this prophet's writing here. So Paul brings out more on this 6th verse in the 7th chapter of Zechariah. in there. And even that should be glory to God. Seventh verse then says, back in Zechariah, should ye not hear the words which the Lord hath cried by the former prophets when Jerusalem was inhabited and in prosperity, and the cities thereof round about her, when men inhabited the south and the plain? So should they stop listening to the prophets, what they said already, what they've written, what they've said before? Obviously, the answer to that is yes, you should. You should hear. This is the negative here. Should ye not hear? But yes, you should hear these of the former prophets, many of which they killed. They didn't like what they heard, and we'll see that in a moment in right here as well. So in speaking of, and he's still addressing the the traditions, the rituals, the things that they did in this question, original question, should we keep weeping, separating ourselves? Should we keep doing that? And immediately, God, the Lord of hosts, the word of the Lord of hosts came unto him, saying, it says in the fourth verse, it's the word of God, of why are you doing these things? That's the important thing here, is why. If we jump to, let me get a couple of verses from the 48th Psalm. 48th Psalm to balance this out. And speaking of traditions, and there are, there are some traditions that are, I don't want to say meaningless, but they're not important. They're maybe just man-made or something. There's other traditions in the church that are important. In Psalm 48, in the 10th verse, according to thy name, O God, so is thy praise under the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments. Walk about Zion and go round about her. Tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following. So he emphasizes here the bulwarks. Mark ye the bulwarks. Tell the towers. Mark them. See where they are. Certainly not going to be moved. And do that so you can tell the future generations, as the prophets did here. But in doing that, in whatever we see as a tradition, whatever we have been given as an ordinance, Lord willing, come the third Sunday in May, we'll have our communion service again. And so in that ordinance, in the ordinance of baptism, the seventh chapter of Zechariah is looking at the motive in that, the meaning of that. If we make a mistake in the communion service, in the Lord's Supper, the serving of the bread and drinking of the wine and so forth, and do something a little differently and all. But what God sees into our very heart and soul in that, and as He does each and every Sunday, each and every day, He sees in, because the Apostle Paul and Zechariah both bring in every day of our lives in how we serve Him, the motives behind it, and again, we'll get back to the seventh chapter there. But so to balance that out, though, there are traditions, there are ordinances in the church, godly, and yet we still look at the motives behind that, the meanings of those. Certainly in baptism, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, in thinking upon that, the communion service, the Lord's Supper of which we partake, shows forth the Lord's death till He come again. It shows that. And so that's what we think upon in that, or we should be. And then washing the saints' feet, each other's feet in that, certainly we think of the humility of Jesus Christ as He washed His disciples' feet. some that would deny him, all that were sinners. And yet we see the humility there, and how he laid aside his glory, not the Godhead, but his glory. He humbled himself, made himself of no reputation as an example to us. And that's what we're to do. And Zechariah gets more into that in the seventh chapter here. Before I leave, the next book, the last book of the Old Testament, which I love dearly, Malachi, in the first chapter, that really it brings some of this out as well. Malachi in his prophecy, he's writing against a lot the priest, but also the people here in chastising them but he says in the sixth verse, a son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? If I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you. Here's that Lord of hosts again. O priests that despise my name. So he's telling these priests here, you despise my name. Now, if anyone knows that, realizes that, it's God, because he sees in their heart, I can't. I don't, when someone says something to me, I don't know what's in their heart and their mind, what their true meaning behind that is. Sometimes you can tell on their face. But he knows here, O priests that despise my name, the name of God, and ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. So they were doing this. And if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now to thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee? So he brings, I love how God just brings it right down to their thoughts, their level, their way of thinking then. If you offer this to your master down the street here, is he going to accept that? And so should I. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? And so he, Malachi even covers a lot of this in his, prior to prophesying the messenger of the great messenger, Jesus Christ. God answers their question here, should I weep in the fifth month, separating myself? He covers the motive behind that ritual there, the meaning, and what are you meditating upon when you do this? Did ye at all fast unto me, even to me? And the word of the Lord came unto Zechariah, saying, in the ninth verse, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, execute true judgment, and show mercy and compassions every man to his brother, and oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the stranger, nor the poor, and let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart. Again, God would know this. So, he's really, and in here, if you went back to Exodus chapter 20, and you see a shift in about the 12th verse of the Ten Commandments, and so the 13th verse on down, the second part of those commandments, then it covers man toward man. How do you treat one another and all? And so he hasn't left the subject, but he's giving specific examples here. And telling them, this is what you're doing, and reminding them, putting them in remembrance of the Ten Commandments, at least the last several of those here, and telling evil against his brother in your heart. Let none of you imagine this. And then in the 11th verse, as so many places we can go, the Jewish people here, Israel, but they refused to hearken, and pulled away the shoulder, and stopped their ears that they should not hear. My first thought, well, that's going to do a lot of good. God's talking to you, and you're going to cover your ears so you don't hear it. And I think of and yet I tell you what, I would first go to a lot of times that the children maybe cover their ears and start making noise. Okay, I don't hear what you're saying and all, but adults do that in their own way. Now also this phrase here, they refused to hearken, pulled away the shoulder. In that I envision when whether it's an adult or child, and maybe someone is being reprimanded for something. And so let's say it is a child. And so you reach down to get their attention a little bit better and touch them on the shoulder, and they jerk that shoulder away. And that, just thinking about that and my child doing that, it makes me angry. And that's not good. But to pull that shoulder away. The people did that. They covered their ears so they couldn't hear, and they pulled that shoulder away. Like, you're not going to touch me. No, I'm not going to give you my attention. This is God speaking to them here. They refused to hearken, pulled away the shoulder, and stopped the ears that they should not hear. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law. I'm not going to hear it. I'm not going to hear this law. And the words which the Lord of hosts hath sent in his spirit by the former prophets, therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. So he had wrath. He was angered by them pulling their shoulder away from him in that, covering their ears so that they couldn't hear. Therefore it came to pass that as he cried, and they would not hear, so they cried, and I would not hear, saith the Lord of hosts. Phrase keeps coming back, Lord of hosts. But I scattered them with a whirlwind among all the nations whom they knew not. Thus the land was desolate after them, that no man passed through nor returned, for they laid the pleasant land desolate. So he covers in the seventh chapter by this one question here, and he answers it in a way and changes the theme behind it, and doesn't really answer the question: do we keep doing this? Should I weep in the fifth month, separating myself as I've done all these years? Well, they're not listening to the prophets. After all those years, and they killed many of them because they didn't want to hear what they had to say. Now, in this, in several times, in one place, and it's in the first verse where it says, the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, and then tells when. Then it says in the fourth verse, then came the word of the Lord of hosts unto me, saying, and then it says, a preacher should always have a desire and should only speak the word of the Lord. And what's been placed and even the interpretation, certainly in doctrine and practice and all that we do, glorifying Him, that the preacher has this desire that if God's blessing him to have the word of the Lord given to them to preach to God's people, I'd be afraid otherwise. If I knowingly did that, and my fear is that I preach something that is not of the Lord by mistake, and I do it in ignorance and all, and I would hope somebody would correct me in that, or that God would correct me in that. But so it's the word of the Lord, and yet they hearkened not, they pulled away the shoulder, stopped their ears so they wouldn't hear it. Now, as I wrap this up in this eighth chapter, certainly a better, more positive, theme here in this eighth chapter. And we'll see a couple of thoughts here, and I'll close fairly quickly after this. Again, the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts. I think this is the word of the Lord. I was jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I was jealous for her with great fury. This is not a sinful jealousy of being angry, or we might get jealous. Well, this my girlfriend is paying a little bit more attention to this guy over here than that she is me, and I'm jealous over her. This is a godly jealousy of exclusiveness. Exclusive. With all of the glory that we give, anything and anyone should go to God. Exclusive. He's jealous. Perfect in that. And so, because He is God. Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, there shall yet old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff in his hand for very age. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, if it be marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in these days, should it also be marvelous in mine eyes, saith the Lord of hosts. And we have a beautiful picture of the church here. And the elderly, those with the staff, those that are of age, and also the child boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. Now the contrast here is what I want to speak of just a moment between this seventh chapter that and he says here that he says I was says I am returning as I will and will dwell and then it says thus saith the Lord there shall yet old men and old women dwell here. These things will take place. They have taken place here despite what was written in the seventh chapter, what God has decreed here in the eighth chapter. So I'm thankful for that. He didn't say, go on from chapter 7 and then say, because you have done this. Now, he covered that in the last few verses of the seventh chapter, but he said he did not choose at this time. You're going, because this was after a remnant had come back, probably around 60,000 people or so, remnant had come back from the captivity. To Jerusalem and here. And again, as we've read in Haggai and even Zechariah and Malachi and all, and thinking of what their mindset should have been, we've been, as the Lord promised, we've been released from captivity after those 70 years, as He said. So now they were hindered in rebuilding the temple, building the walls of Jerusalem, Nehemiah, and then go and read Malachi, not a very long book, there, and Zechariah, and how they were, what their mindset was, focusing on themselves here. And yet they should be, we have liberty. We've been given freedom here. We're now returned to our homeland. And look at the description of Zion, Mount Zion here. And yet we see what they concentrate on. And yet the God Almighty still gave them these things through His mercy. It seems like I spend so much of my time this is reason enough to try to do what we should do to glorify Him in our lives throughout the week, all the time, because I spend so much time on begging for forgiveness, thanking Him for His mercy, which we should do those things. If I were on the right track, if I knew the answer to these questions did I fast for Him, for His sake? Is that why I wept? Is that why I separate myself? Then I would be blessed in serving Him more abundantly each and every day of my life. We could concentrate on these things, Brother Jason, in our lives. Remember these things. And yet, we see in the eighth chapter, though, because of His loving kindness and mercy. And we see in the church today what He's given us. And He blesses us with His very His close presence among us. And we can feel that when we leave. And so we hearken unto Him. I pray that I don't pull my shoulder back that I lean into my Savior Jesus Christ, that my high priest, that I might lean into Him with my shoulder and into the work, having taken that His yoke upon me, because His burden is light. That's what we put our shoulder into, is the work of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that He's given us to do. He carried His cross. We bear our cross in this life. It's been made a light by the work of Jesus Christ and then His revelation to us. So I'm thankful for that. So may I continue to not pull my shoulder back, not cover my ears, but hearken unto Him. And that when I'm doing something, think of that motive, that instead of the way I have to confess that question, that's how I think. Well, I've been doing this so well all these years. Do I continue doing that? Even in my question, I'm bragging. And so I don't want to be guilty of that. Do I need to question, well, why have I done it all these years? It's to serve Him, glorify Him. May God bless and keep you. My prayer. We'll sing a song now. Church, if anyone has a desire to join, let us know. Let it call you.